The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Not sure I'm ready to begin the program here. I don't know what a hoot and a half is. She said, I think you're a hoot and a half. I really don't know what a hoot is. I don't know how much you'd measure that. But you add a half onto there, and then I'm really confused. However, I'm able to, in fact, continue with the program. Thank you so much for joining me here. The Doctor Is In is the name of the program. Ray Guarendi is my name. I don't really know what my original Italian name was. My 17-year-old grandfather coming through Ellis Island couldn't speak a lick. I don't know how much a lick is either. A lick and a half of English. So when the immigration officer said, come si chiamo? For those of you not Italian but want to be, that means, what is your name? He said, I think he said, Guarante. Well, immigration officer didn't need no judge, didn't need no court, didn't need no fancy legalities. He just wrote it down. And there you have it. And Guarendi is spelled G-U-A-R-E-N-D-I. I don't know how it was originally spelled. The program here is The Doctor Is In. Now, I'm a little nervous about that. There is a scripture verse that says, call no man father. Scripture verse following that says, call no man teacher. Well, doctor is from the, it's a derivative of early linguistics, which means teacher. So I'm wondering, don't call me Dr. Ray. Maybe just Mr. Ray. Well, that's kind of gender assuming, but it's okay. I give you permission. The number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825. That's hard to remember because it's a number that bounces around all over the place, kind of like the national anthem does. You ever try to sing the national anthem? It is all over the place in the musical scale. 877-57-EQUAL. That's easier to remember if you'd like to call in to ask a question, or to make a comment, or to make a helpful suggestion, or to discuss a particular situation, person, place, thing, rock, paper, scissors, in your life. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do at the office, professionally speaking. There I can do therapy. There I can do diagnosis. There I can discuss a whole range of stuff going on in people's lives. Here, educate. Don't diagnose, don't do therapy, but give you a few, maybe a thought, something to nudge you in a different direction. And much of the time when you nudge in a different direction, it breeds a cascade, a direction that is very helpful, hopefully. I did help somebody once. It was January 3rd, 2007. Yeah, I got the email to prove it. Dr. Ray, you helped me. Yeah, just said that. I sent it, and I had her sign it. 877-57-EQUAL. Now, the definition, looked up here by my producer, man, Andrew Kruchek, a hoot is a scientific unit of measure to indicate the amount of joy and value brought on in reaction to the actions of another person. Scientific unit of measure, huh? Hoot. The old Emo Phillips joke. You know who makes me upset? Who? People who sound like owls. All right. A couple items of business. I want to thank the folks in Kalamazoo. Great song by back in the big band era. I got a gal in Kalamazoo, and they would say zoo, 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 zoo. Nice time there. Thank you so very much. We are continuing to beat the bushes. Oh, I can't say that. Beat the bushes. Boys, how violent. I just realized how much of my language is violent. We are continuing to scatter seed. There, that's a better way to put it. For our visit, Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show in St. Louis. Covenant Radio Turf Network Land. I almost said tanned. It's a combination of turf and land. April 16 and 17. Two shows, both nights. I think 5:30, 7:30 are the show times. If you'd like to be part of the audience, live audience, you get to see your face on EWTN many, many times. And you get to ask questions, and you get to clap when you're supposed to clap. And you're supposed to show all kinds of joyful excitement, a hoot and a half, maybe a hoot and three quarters, for being there. So you go to, if you'd like to sign up, 1, 2, 3, 4 shows. And you can bring the kids, so it's free babysitting. Well, no, you got to watch them, but I mean, we can sit there and they can embarrass you on international television. That's something if you're really, truly will measure the confidence you have in your parenting. Go to ourcatholicradio.org/, whew, that's violent too. Dr. Ray, you can sign up. I don't know what the numbers are right now. Adam, if you're listening, I do need a tally on those numbers so I know how much I have to grovel to get people there. All righty. We will get to your calls momentarily. We get a lot of calls on this program, and I get a lot of visits to my office of young adults living at home. And they are at various levels of cooperation. Some are very pleasant to be there. Mom and or dad are helping them out to launch, save some money. Great. Others, marginally cooperative. Others, drifting. Others, hostile, uncooperative, difficult, disrespectful. And of course, I think it's safe to say that the majority of parents don't put conditions upon living there. Here is a condition I think you would do well to consider. If you're going to live here as an adult, over age, let's just say 18. I mean, it's just that's an arbitrary number that the state puts on it and says legally now you're an adult. Doesn't really mean anything regarding adulthood. It's just a number. But let's use it. If you're going to live here, a condition is that you go to church on Sunday. Now, here are the objections. I would suspect that if I polled the people having kids living at home, young adults, they would say, yes, I'd very, very much prefer they would go to church. Absolutely. I would prefer they go to church. Probably 90%+, at least of the folks listening to Catholic radio. However, my guess would be it's well below 50%. If I were to put a number on, I'd say 10 to 20% maybe, that would say a condition for living here is that you go to Mass on Sundays. The question becomes, if you would wish this would happen, but you don't do anything about it, why not? Probably a main explanation is, well, you know, they're adults now. I mean, when they were younger, I could make that the condition of being in our family, and that's what we did as a family. But, you know, they're adulting now. Well, they're not really adulting. They're semi-adulting or even quasi-adulting. But you figure, well, I can't really mandate that or person date that. Yeah, you can't say mandate. Another one is, well, they would just do it out of total resentment. They would argue with me. Oh, you can force me to make me go, but I'll tell you, I don't want any part of it. and it'll just turn me off further toward religion. See, that's the big club. You make me do this, and I'm going to dislike religion even more. So there, Mom, don't even think about it. Is there a problem with putting that as a condition? Very small one, you know. 1 hour. Oh, maybe travel time, hour and a half. Dr. Ray, what for? What for? They don't want to go. They're not properly predisposed. What am I gaining other than resistance, resentment, reluctance, rebellion? All those R-E words. You're making a statement. Our home serves the Lord. This is one way that we do this. I'll go, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to participate. I'm just going to sit there. Okay. I can't make you. But just maybe something the priest says, maybe something in a prayer, the Holy Spirit somehow, some way might nudge them a little bit. I know one thing for certain. If they're not at Mass, then for sure they're not going to be exposed to any scripture reading, any moving homily, any beautiful prayer. None of that's going to happen. Well, Dr. Ray, what if they go to communion? They shouldn't be going to communion because they've missed Mass all the time and they have no desire. And as far as I know, they're doing all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing. So what if they go to communion? Well, you can tell them, don't go to communion. But if they go, that's not your responsibility. But Dr. Ray, I don't want them to jeopardize their soul even worse. Again, you see what I'm saying here? We don't do the things that we would very much prefer to do because of all these psychological / emotional / social / familial / a lot of slashing going on there. Reservations. Another R-E word. Something to consider. And in a way, you may find out that if you put that condition on them living in your home, and they absolutely refuse, they will not do it, now you got another decision to make. Because they're essentially saying, I'm living here on my terms, not yours. That's one. But the other decision is, are you basically going to say, well, okay, if you don't want to, you don't have to, but you can still live here and gain all the benefits of living here. That's up to you. But I think it's something to consider.
Call your doctor if you have high fever, stiff muscles, and confusion to address a possible life-threatening condition.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hi, Dr. Ray. You're still my favorite program on all media.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Those ugly psychological age spots. You've tried removing them. Call the program here. We'll see what we can do. 877-57-EQUAL. In a lot of ways, the culture has moved away from its religious roots. Many, many ways. All kinds of small signs all over the place. Here's one. I forget how many years and it may have been decades that Mary was the number one female name. It is now not even in the top 50 and hasn't been for quite some years. But for many, many years, Mary was the number one girl's name. Hi, Mary from Omaha, Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thanks for the call.
Well, I got a little problem and I didn't know, couldn't figure out anybody that maybe could help me except you.
Whoa.
So
nobody but me. Man,
nobody
that's
but you.
Mary, that's pressure. Whew.
Yes.
How long have you had this problem?
Well, during COVID, I met a person that was really, really negative, and I just kind of hung around with her. And then she became very positive, very, you know, bright. And then I had, because we would go out at least 2 times a week, sometimes 3, and do the shopping and do everything. Well, then I had a situation come up where for a month and a half, I couldn't do that. So now she's...
Well, you let her down, Mary. That's what you did.
Oh,
you made
yes.
her all upset because you couldn't meet her needs.
Yes. And now she's just completely negative. And to be around her is just to be 2 or 3 hours of nothing but negative, hateful, spiteful.
Mary, why do you hang around her for 2 or 3 hours of that?
Because if I don't, nobody else will.
So it's kind of a charitable work on your part, huh?
Pardon?
It's kind of a charitable act on your part.
Yes, God gave her to me. And I did talk to him about that, and he just, every time I do that, get a sermon or this or that where you have to go out and take care of those in need.
Well, the question becomes, Mary, the question becomes, what is those in need? Is it, does she lack for food? Does she lack for companionship? Does she lack for love? And you might say, well, yeah, she does. She's a lonely person and she's pushed everybody away because she's so negative. I'm all she's got left. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, and now she's because I talk to her an hour every night.
Whoa. Wow. That's got to be a rough hour.
It is. I don't look forward to calling.
Well, here's a question. Okay, go ahead, Mary, and then I'll give you my question.
Yeah, go ahead. So is just filling time. Go ahead.
Here's the question. Well, as I'm filling time for an hour here. Here's the question. By allowing her to go on and on, complaining, angry, bitter, whatever negative thing she throws your way. Are you helping her or are you hurting her?
You're right. I'm not helping her at all.
What if? Go ahead.
You know, I change the subject half a dozen times. I go into this, I go into that. And it just snaps right back into negativism.
Is she married?
But I haven't. Go ahead.
Is she married?
No.
Okay.
She's been used as a child. And so that's all she can relate to is how bad her childhood was and you know, this happened and that happened. And
you've heard this many, many times.
At least 1,000.
That's many, many. Actually, that's many, 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 many. 1,000. I looked it up. Many is 250. So 1,000 times would be many, 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 many.
Yes.
All right. What if when... Does she call you or do you call her?
I call her.
Well, that's very kind of you. But you call her, tell me if I'm wrong, out of a sense of duty.
Yes.
Not out of a sense of... I wonder how she's doing. I really miss her.
If I don't call her, she goes into a rage.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yelling at, screaming at you, carrying on with you? Where have you been?
Well, not. She doesn't point it at me, but now she's in a rave vocal pattern.
Okay. Mary, here's what I can't know. How old is she?
75.
I can't know if she's beginning to cognitively slip. I can't know if she's getting affected by some sort of depression. I can't know any of that. If you think, if you assess that this is a woman who, for the most part, functions, but she's bitter about life, and she just wants to complain and complain and complain and complain, and you're really the only one left who listens to her, then maybe you could have a condition. First of all, I would let her call you most of the time. I'm not sure I'd call her every night out of duty. I don't think you're helping her. Second, as soon as she starts to complain and you try to change the subject and she brings it back, you say, well, I got to go because sounds like you're pretty upset. I got to get gone. You take good care. I'll talk to you later. Now,
okay. My
guess would be, Mary, that within 7 seconds, your phone will ring. Am I right or am I wrong?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. At that point, you have a decision to make. Do you answer it or you don't? See, the question becomes when somebody is just a chronic complainer, they're not interested in solving any of their problems. All they want to do is grouse. You're not really helping them by listening to them. You're just letting them vent and rehearse. Actually, in a lot of respects, she's probably making herself more miserable by calling you and rehearsing all her misery.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think, and again, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a priest, but I don't think that you are obligated to sit and listen to this woman complain and be bitter and unhappy about everybody and everything for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you've done it, Mary. I don't know how you've done it.
So then I just, that would work the same way if we were at lunch.
You're really getting yourself upset, and I don't know what to say to you. So, let's get our check, get going here. God bless you, Mary, for your patience, but I'm not sure you're helping her. 877-573-7825. Down at the bottom of the hour, want to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. You got friends like that? People like that in your life that are just... You can feel bad if it makes you feel better, according to the old country song.
What is the great mystery of the Christian faith? It is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though the resurrection is an historical fact professed by the apostles and signified by the empty tomb, no one knows the exact hour Jesus emerged from the tomb. There were no eyewitnesses to describe the actual moment, only the result, the live appearances of Jesus to his disciples. It is an event that transcends and surpasses history, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The three persons of the Trinity, using their individual characteristics, acted as one in bringing about the resurrection. God the Father raised up the Son. God the Holy Spirit gave life to Jesus' dead humanity and called it to the glorious state of lordship. The Son effects his own resurrection by virtue of his divine power. He predicted the Passion and declared that he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi will commence now. We assure you that this randomly selected program is one of Dr. Ray's least worst.
Equal is the number to call to get on to the program with a question about the stuff of life. I was reading in the Mail manual, we do have to say stuff at least once a week. My sons used to say that all the time. What'd you do today? Stuff. You gonna clean that up? Well, it's just stuff. All right, what do you want to eat? Stuff. It's a multipurpose word. It truly is. Of course, their sisters were always there going, can't you be more articulate? Like stuff and stuff. Okay. This comes up a lot. A lot. And I think Mary emblifies it. Which is, where does my Christian obligation begin and end with someone who is relentlessly negative, complaining about life, assuming there isn't anything organically going on? One might say, well, Dr. Ray, there could be psychological stuff going on. Yeah, well, now you're getting into fuzziness. Because is misery psychological? Eh, in one sense it is, but it isn't necessarily what you would consider pathology. It's just a certain outlook on life. I know from the calls we get on this program and from the questions raised in the office, people struggle with this. How much do I listen? How much do I commiserate? How much do I try to understand someone who is chronically negative? This is not a matter of, I got a problem in my life, I'm coming to you for help, or I'm running up against something that needs to be solved, and can you help me? I'm willing to listen. No. This is someone who just basically says, I want to go on and on and on and on about how unhappy I am, how things are ugly, how things aren't working out for me. So how long do you listen? When I read the Gospels, and our Lord talks about meeting the needs of others, I get the read that he's talking about basic needs, food, shelter, clothing. I mean, there isn't any indication in the scripture that part of Christian charity is to sit and to absorb someone else's negativity. How is that? See, I think that's kind of a modern idea. That you have to empathize, you have to sympathize, and up to a point, sure, of course. But when someone is relentlessly negative, or relentlessly self-absorbed, relentlessly bragging, relentlessly putting down others. There's all kinds of conversation killers. Are you helping them by being a sounding board? And I'm sure that you've tried valiantly to give them advice or guidance or help them to pull out of this emotional tailspin that they're in to no avail. When I talk to people about this, I ask them, how long? Like I asked Mary, how long? Mary, at least a couple years anyway. And the fact that she calls her every night. One of two things. She feels that somehow God has called her to do this. And again, I don't quite know how she realized that. Or, as she said, her friend, I guess I'm using the word kind of loosely there, her friend gets very angry if she doesn't call. Whoa! See, for me, that would be a definite indicator that I need to put some distance in this relationship. Today is the Solemnity of St. Joseph. Now, solemnity, does that mean I can, wait a minute, looking over the conditions here, does that mean I can eat junk food? Because I gave it up for Lent. But I could eat junk food now? I mean, there's some cookies sitting out there. St. Joseph is the greatest of saints. He took care of Jesus and Mary. March 19th, his solemnity. EWTN has a great thing. Learn how to pray with St. Joseph. You can sign up for it. It's an ebook from EWTN. Special prayers that you can pray again and again. Just a few things you can learn. Why do we celebrate a solemnity of St. Joseph? What does the Bible say about St. Joseph? What's so special about St. Joseph? What can St. Joseph help with? Of what is St. Joseph, the patron saint? Good stuff there from EWTN. As always, good stuff from EWTN. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to take Brendan here, and then I know I'll probably carry him through the break. Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Hey. Nothing gaining on me, and I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, I have a kid coming in August. I'm 25 and really new to this whole thing. I was wondering if you got any tips or books or something I can read before we begin this journey. So,
are you a married man?
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans to marry the child's mother?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. You got something set, or is it like, no, well, we'll see where it goes, and then maybe we'll get married?
I'm kind of waiting because the ring is expensive, so I'm kind of waiting until baby comes and get my feet under me and then go off on that.
Brendan, I know this is not the question you were asking. Why do you think you would need a ring before you proposed?
I guess that's a good response. I don't know. It's just, feel like that's typical standards of this world right now.
Well, it is, but the question you have to ask yourself is there a greater good? If you and this woman want to commit to each other for life, and you say to her, I very much want to propose to you and spend my life with you through the church, but I don't have money for a ring. Would that make any difference to you? If she says, yes, it would, that would scare me. If she says, no, it wouldn't, we'll get a ring when? My wife years ago lost her engagement ring. The stone fell out. She lost it. We haven't replaced it. I mean, I could. And she's never really asked because she knows we're married. And stay there, Brandon. We'll talk a little bit about this child on your way. 877-573-7825. It's Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me, and join me some more.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
This communion with Jesus and with one another, that being united to Him and abiding in Him, that is the indispensable condition for bearing fruit. That's why our Lord says back in John 15, verse 5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you're not united to Christ, you're not going to do anything for Him. So communion with Jesus, our Savior, focusing on Him and getting to know Him and be known by Him, that is what makes it possible for us to bear fruit as Christians. And communion with others is the most magnificent fruit that the branches can give. That's one of the things that He's looking for from us, that we have a communion with one another, that we have a love and a concern. Does it mean we agree with one another? Not necessarily.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People have this false notion that after the Supreme Court came out with, of course, Roe v. Wade and gave us abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, that all of a sudden, all of these regulations were put into place. When all of these independent abortion facilities popped up all over the country, when Planned Parenthood started opening its doors and doing abortions legally after 1973, that it was always so safe and wonderful. And they believe this because they don't see these stories about the botched abortions, the women who have lost their lives, the women who have been violated because their information has been tossed out in the street with the garbage and the medical waste, not to mention the fact that the regulations that are on the books are not even enforced, and rarely are these facilities inspected, and yet people think that they're so safe.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Life, discipline, and the pursuit of holiness on The Doctor Is In. Co-production of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications with my producer man, Andrew Krucek, and my call screamer man, Eric Dumont, there in Ann Arbor. I'm talking to a young man, Brendan, from Lincoln. Brendan, you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
All righty, sir. Let me recap, because there were probably people who were not listening before we went to break. They just tuned in now. You know who you are. Brendan is 25 years old. He has a little one on the way in August. He would like to be a good daddy. He says he wants to marry the baby's mother. He's reluctant because right now he doesn't really have the means to purchase a ring. And before the break, we said, Brendan, approach the woman that you want to be with for life and ask her if we can go ahead on this without the official ring. And Brendan said, well, yeah, but this is kind of the way society does it. I mean, this is the steps. If you're going to get engaged, you got to give her a ring. Brendan, are you living with her?
Yeah.
Okay. So really, in a way, you're doing the way society does it. People your age are much more commonly living together than being married. So do you think that's a good way to do it? You don't have to answer me?
According to the church, no.
Well, if there's a God, and if God established the church through Christ, then they know he knows the best way to live. He knows the way that you and your girlfriend will be more likely to remain together when you do get married. He knows that. So if he says, yeah, don't live together, it's not good. It's not good for you. And modern society and our culture says, yeah, nah, come on. Expenses, it helps. And eh, what's a piece of paper anyway? So if we say all that stuff and then we live together, the divorce rate after marriage is much higher if you live together, which would leave that little one of yours without a full-time daddy. Now, all that said, you didn't ask all those questions. I just figured I'd put that in there.
Right.
You want to be a good daddy. Well, you got to be in this little one's life. You got to be there. You got to be responsible. You got to take care of this little one and your wife-to-be, I hope. You recognize that in that first year or two, a lot of cuddling, a lot of getting up at night, a lot of your own time will not be your own time anymore. You know, when you were 24, you were footloose. Come and go as you please. Go anywhere you please. Don't worry about it. Now you got a kid. I'm going to tell you this, though, Brendan. You've probably looked at other people's kids. And you've seen how excited they get over their kids, and you're thinking to yourself, come on, man, it's just a kid. It's a two-year-old. I mean, I don't get that excited. I mean, no offense here, maybe I'm not kid-oriented. I don't know what's going on, but they don't do to me what they're doing to them. I hear you laughing, right. So I know that's what you think. I guarantee you, son, when that little one arrives, that little one's going to crawl right underneath your heart. And then you're going to understand what it's like to be a daddy. And you're going to feel protective of that little one. You're going to want to live a better life for that little one. You're going to want to love that little one with everything you got. You're going to want to do all kinds of things that when you look at those other people with their kids, you think to yourself, how can they get so excited over a little kid? I mean, yeah, okay, that's nice, but I mean, it doesn't do that much for me. Because it's not yours. Trust me on that one. Now,
right.
I get to the crux of the call here, Brendan. And that is, you said, are there any books? Yes. I have two that might be of particular relevance to you. One is called Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Tiny little things you can do to dramatically improve that relationship. Little things, easy things to do. And I spend much of the book talking about why you fight doing them. The other book is Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is a bestseller. It is by far my most popular discipline book. Talks about a lot of the issues that come up with little kids. It talks about your own self-confidence as a daddy. It talks about things like supervision and consistency and perseverance and keeping your cool and not becoming a lunatic when a kid does something that little kids do. Both those books are on my website. Talk to your girlfriend about this. And if you guys are planning on getting married, talk about how to begin the process toward it. You know, go to your local parish, talk to the priest, say, okay, We want to get married. We want to make this relationship right before the eyes of God and the church here. And, Father, what do we need to do here?
Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Good luck to you, buddy. I'll talk to you.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. 877, you got one more section. 877-573-7825. I have to take another of my multiple, but you know, my grandfather, when he dug ditches and he came here as a 17-year-old, I don't think he got four breaks in a day. I get four breaks in an hour. Life is grueling.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better? The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. I saw a statistic. Interesting how they came up with this statistic. The number of physical partners that you have had prior to marriage. Now, this is a generality. There are many people who have turned their lives around through a beautiful Christian conversion. But assuming that hasn't happened, the number of partners you have had prior to marriage reduces the chances of success of that marriage by a certain percent. I don't remember the percent. It was pretty significant. But that's fascinating, is it not? I was listening to a radio show, this is some years ago, and the host was going on and on about the benefits, the positives of living together. He was giving the standard cliches. We reason in cliches. The culture repeats them over and over again, and everybody thinks, well, they must be true. Look how many people say them. His cliche was, this is ridiculous that you would try to marry somebody for life not knowing what they're like without living with them. You got to live with them. Got to find out what they're like to live with. That'll do much to guarantee the success of that marriage. That's what he said. So I called in. And I said, well, actually, no. There's a part of this story I'm missing. He acknowledged. He said, the statistics seem to show that if you live with somebody prior to marriage, there's a higher chance of divorce if you do marry. And he couldn't understand that. He said, I don't get that. It doesn't seem to make any sense because common sense would tell you to get to know somebody before marriage. You can decide if you want to marry him or not. More information, right? And I said to him, I said, well, one way to explain this is, first of all, those who don't live together prior to marriage are probably of a more religious bent. As a group, There are a lot of reasons why people don't live together prior to marriage, although they are the minority now. But one of the big reasons is religiously. Okay? So if, in fact, they are of a religious bent, then all the research indicates when you are faithfully religious, your marriage has a much, much better chance of lasting a lifetime or somebody's lifetime. First thing. Second thing is there is the element of commitment. If there is something in my mind that says I can live with you and I can get all whatever advantages I want by living with you, yet I'm really not willing to commit to you just in case. Not willing to do that. Well, that says something about someone's sense of commitment to a marriage. That's that hidden mental factor, that commitment. And as I said this to the guy, I could tell he was skeptical in so many words. He debated, and he said, still doesn't seem to make any sense. You get to know somebody. You get to know who they are. That's right. Then you can decide. How else are you going to know them? Well, here was my question. In our culture, in 1960, the divorce rate was under 10%. And furthermore, the living together was way below what it is now. I mean, that was viewed as something you just didn't do. I don't know what the percentages were, but I do know now that under age 35, more are living together than are married. So if you didn't live together, yet the divorce rate was a fraction of what it is now, what does that say about this notion that living together makes you know the person, and if you know the person, you will then better know whether to spend a life with them or not? Something falls apart somewhere there. I guess the larger takeaway in all this, scrutinize the ideas behind much of society's morals. They sound good because there's a whole lot of voices saying them. And we tend to live by consensus. Well, you know, all those people can't be wrong. You know, 82% of people think that way. It's only 18% who don't, so the 18% must be wrong. That's what we do, by the way. We judge morality by the numbers. A wonderful quote by Bishop Sheen. He said, wrong is wrong, even if everybody is wrong. Right is right, even if no one is right. The truth of a moral does not depend upon consensus. It does not depend upon numbers. If you go by the numbers, religious people who truly value their marriage are in a minority now. But yet, if you go by the numbers, they are among the most content in their marriage. Okie doke, not much time left to do much more of much. I thank you for joining me here. And once again, a push for the TV show audience in St. Louis, April 16 and 17. In the evening, I think it's 5:30, 7:30 shows, both nights. In between shows, we feed you. Yep, we do. So you bring the kids, you get a free meal. You bring a baby. It's okay. We've had plenty of babies in the audience. There's a psychologist nearby for emergency temper tantrums. We'd love to have you because the audience level makes the energy level higher. People have commented to me on that. They say, you know, you can tell when you got a big audience because your energy level goes up. And I say, well, that's because I probably had a nap that day is probably what it was. But nevertheless, big audiences make it work.
ourcatholicradio.org/Dr. Ray. That'll get you to where you got to go to sign up to be on the program, to be there in the audience, to see your smiling face on EWTN television. Thank you so much for joining me. Walk with God. And if you got kids or grandkids, grab them tight by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.